Isaiah chapter 3, we were here a year or two ago in this same verse. I just like it. Isaiah chapter 3. We're going to read the first 11 verses, kind of get the context, see what's going on here. For behold, Isaiah 3, chapter 3, behold, the Lord of hosts, the take away from Jerusalem and from Judah, the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, the whole stay of water, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, prophet, prudent, and the ancient, the captains of 50, and honorable men, the counselor, the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. And in that day shall he swear, and saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say unto the righteous that it shall be well with him, for he shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. The reward of his hands shall be given him. Now, I want to look at verse 10, right in the middle of this section of turmoil, sin, degradation, unrest, and calamity. We have verse 10. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Or say to the righteous that it well, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Right in the middle of this, all this negativity, if you will, you've got this one bright spot. Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him or her. I know I looked at this before, like I said, a year or 2 years ago, but I like this passage. I'm just going to go through it and just look at a few things. Say ye to the righteous that it, what's that? What is that? It shall be well with him. It shall be well with the righteous. It. Well, this verse is a kin, cousin, to Romans 8:28. Look at how it's phrased. And we know that all things, what things? All things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now this is the righteous that he's speaking of in Isaiah 3:10. Who are they? These are the ones, whoever they may be, young, old, white, black, whatever, who are called according to God's purpose. He didn't call everybody, but he calls some. Not many mighty, not many wise are called. But this, what got me is it. This word it. This is a wide scope. This is a broad angle. It. What? It shall be well with him. It. What not? All things. Everything. At every time. Everywhere. In all circumstances. Whether they be difficult times, financial hard times, joyous seasons, times of dark skies, or sunny mornings. It shall be well with the righteous. Charles Haddon Spurgeon made a comment on this. He said, when no time is mentioned, all time is included. All time is included. God is for us. He's never against us. Though he may withdraw, seem to withdraw behind the cloud, the old writers would say, he's still there. He's still present with us. It shall be well. Oh, what a good hope we have in Christ Jesus. He says, kind of in Ephesians chapter 4, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not righteous, and it's not going well for you. But if you're in Christ, you're righteous, you're made righteous, and it is going well for you. It. How do you limit that? How do you limit that? Why do we limit that? Now, every one of us is going to get older and, you know, maybe get sick and die, or we're all going to die. There's no question about that. But it'll be a time to usher us to glory. And isn't that what we're here for? I know we get distracted and we like to do this and like to do that and I like to do different things. But when it comes down to it, our whole life is, when a life of grace is desired to honor and glorify Him and a love for Him. And it will just be with Him. But we get attached to things. But He says, it. Everything at all times. The next thing I saw was, say to the righteous, it shall be well. This word well means good in the Hebrew, and it's used in the widest possible sense. Not only at all times, but in every event is well and good for God's elect. I know the believer goes through many or more of the struggles of life than many. We go through the same as many others, and sometimes more, sometimes less. But God, the benevolent one, is behind this phrase towards the church. He's behind this phrase. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him or with her. Put your trust exclusively and totally in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this book to reference. All the hardships of the ancients, the prophets and the priests and the king, David and Solomon and all, and Abraham and Lot and Jacob and Joseph. We have this book to reference. All the ancients of days have gone, that they've gone through. See how God in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, kept each one of them until they were singing His praises in glory. And all you got to do is go to Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, which is in Christ. And it just lists, just starts listing them. And then it didn't even list them all by name. Some were sawn asunder, thrown in lions' dens. Of whom the world was not worthy. Is not worthy. They are singing His praise. And one minute they were in the lion's den, the next minute they were singing the praises of God. So this is the passage of Scripture. It, all that includes, shall be well. It shall be good in the broadest possible sense. Now again, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be wealthy, you're going to have a bunch of every car you need, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. No, I'm not. That's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And this other stuff that we have is just stuff. It's to be used, not abused. And somebody else is going to get it. So he gives us that as, you know, our brethren in Africa, they don't have a tenth of what we have. And yet they can still rejoice in Christ. Why? Because this passage, if they're believers, is for them. It's for them. It shall be well with the righteous. And just further emphasize well or good, we are well fed. In John chapter 6, he says, this is my body, my blood. You know, this is you feed upon him. We are well fed. We dine upon his flesh and his blood. And if we do not, we have no part of him. So we're well fed. Every time we gather together in the Word, we taste to see that he's gracious. We're reading the Word, not literally feasting upon his blood and his flesh, but we do so in this book by the Holy Spirit. We're well kept. Jude 24 says he's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his glory, before his throne in glory. He's able to keep us from falling. We're well kept. We're well clothed. Turn to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorneth herself with her jewels. We're clothed, we're well fed, we're well kept, and we're well clothed. We have his righteousness. And notice in the text, verse 10, my soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? He hath clothed. He hath covered. We didn't do it ourselves. See, salvation is all the work of him and him alone. Justification, sanctification, it's all of grace. We said that this morning in Bible class. He hath. And when we realize what he's done, we realize it's past tense. He did this before the foundation of the world. Fifthly, we're well provided for. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 and verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, which one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And his son, being properly taught things from the scripture, from a youth, he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, the Mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or the Lord will provide. We are well provided for. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord hath provided all things necessary for us to gain entrance into heaven. It shall be well with thee. We are well cared for. Hebrews chapter 13. We are well cared for. We're cared for like no other people on earth. Hebrews 13. And verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as you have. For God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're well cared for. Matthew chapter 6. I like this how this is phrased. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. Therefore, said the Lord Jesus Christ to his people there, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. That's a mild rebuke. We'll open up our closets and we got hundreds of stuff. Hundreds of things. We act like God's not going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. Okay? But this is what the world, they collect stuff and stuff and stuff. And stuff. Therefore, what we eat or drink or be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. They don't have a God like who takes care of us, who we're well fed, we're well kept, we're well clothed, we're well loved, we're well provided for. They don't have that. They don't understand. They just got themselves, so they think. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. These earlier chapters in Matthew, they always walk all over me, because I take thought for tomorrow. I take thought about what I'm gonna, what I'm gonna have to eat. Oh, I can't not eat. I'll waste away. I'm sure. And I take thought about, look in the mirror. All these different things that we think are so important. And we don't need to be gross and be unkept, We don't need to be, we're in a society, we live, but we go way, way too much. Way too much. How many vehicles do we need to get to work? How do we do these things? These are the things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father, who said it, there's no limitations on that, shall be well, good, in the widest sense, with the righteous. If you're righteous, it's because Christ robed you in his righteousness. He lived, suffered, bled, and died. And he's God's only Son, but our Heavenly Father knows that we have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You think about the next day or think about the next day. Who's to say you walk out in your backyard and just fall down dead? You know, Melinda said, two secretaries in Jackson. Quincy. Her sister's school district. They didn't show, they went to work and then didn't come back. So I guess somebody went and looked them up. They both died. And this is not the same day, but, and you know what? You're not that important. I'm not that important. The school district at Quincy kept right on going. Oh, no. No. I mean, I'm a main cog in the wheel. No. And Linda and I were talking about this very thing. Even the highest office in this land, he'll be replaced after 4 years or maybe after eight in the country. It's gone on since George Washington. And if it doesn't, it shall still be well in the widest possible sense for his people. We doubt him far too frequently. But I ask the last thing, who does God say such things to? Well, in our text, it's very specific. Say to the righteous. And the next verse, say to the wicked, it'll be ill with you. So what we're looking at is verse 10, say to the righteous. Now we're born in sin, so we're born without a righteousness. Paul said, there's religious people in the world, they have a zeal, but it's not according to the knowledge of God. They go about to establish their own righteousness, which is what religion. Man was made to worship God. And when he fell, he still worships. But it's not God. He worships. Oh, you name it. Other people. I did when I was a kid. I idolized sports figures. We'll worship this country. Sports. Activities, things, money. You're nothing if you're not wealthy. That's not righteousness. That's whatever. It's not righteousness. Say to the righteous. Those made so by the accomplishments and satisfaction of God's Son. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. We didn't make ourselves meet. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, his Son, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's who this passage in Isaiah 3, verse 10, that's who he's talking to. Say to the righteous, it shall be well with them. It's a specific group of people. He made us meet. We did not sow ourselves by our supposed free will or good works or any merit found within us. We, like anyone and everyone else, were dead in trespasses and sins, is what Ephesians 2 says. But thanks be to Christ, our Redeemer. Thanks be to God who chose us from before the world was. And thanks be to God the Holy Spirit that gave us regenerating grace to see Him and to see ourselves for what we truly are. In closing, turn to Genesis chapter 32. This is what an enlightened mind understands and sees and proclaims. We've seen, like Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. So we know that our Redeemer liveth. But he also said, I hate and abhor myself, repent in dust and ashes. We see him with whom we have to do. And when we look back at ourselves, which we used to look back and in pride, and oh, I'm such a wonderfully created, I'm so beautiful, I'm so this and that. We look at ourselves and we're like, oh, how disgusting. I'm a worm. We see ourselves as maggots. We see ourselves as worms. We see ourselves, we came from the dust. We're going to go back to the dust. We see ourselves as Naaman, a leper. But thanks be to Christ, our Redeemer, who shed and suffered His own blood on Calvary's tree for us. Thanks be to God who chose us from before the world was, gave us to His Son, and thanks be to the God, the Holy Spirit, that gave us regenerating grace to see Him and yet to see ourselves as we truly are. Genesis chapter 6, or 32, verses 6 through 10. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau. Now Esau's getting ready to meet Jacob, and they're getting ready to meet together. And Esau cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him. And Jacob's last meeting with Esau was not good, so he's a little nervous. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him into the flocks and herds and camels into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company, which is left, shall escape. That's human reasoning. And Jacob said, and this would be a good prayer for us, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well, it's the same word, with you. Say to the righteous, Isaiah 3 verse 10, our text, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with thee. What Jacob is doing is pleading what God has said. And that's the best way, that's the best, I don't know how else to phrase it. You take God's words, a promise that He gave you, and you said, but you said this. You hold them to it. And God wouldn't have given it to you if you weren't righteous, if you weren't yea, and all the promises in Christ are yea and amen. But this is what we plead His promises. But verse 10, we see God. He's our God. He's the God of my father. He's the God of the father Abraham and Isaac. But He's also my God. Because you said to me, I'll deal well with thee. But this is what we also say. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown unto thy servant. You show me a person that says that, and I'll show you one of God's elect. For with my stuff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of the truth. Mercy and truth. What's Proverbs say? Or I think it's probably maybe Psalms. Mercy and truth have kissed each other. And where does that happen? In the Old Testament, it happened on the mercy seat. But we know who the mercy seat pictures. Mercy and truth have kissed each other in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we're righteous. Say unto the righteous, it. You put a definition on that? It. It's broad. It shall be well. And I told you that word is good in the Hebrew in the widest sense. It shall be it. What? Tomorrow? If the Lord gives us life, health, soundness of mind, this afternoon, even though I stub my toe or I get in an accident or whatever happens, it shall be well. Spiritually. Eternally. And sometimes materially. I don't know how else to say it. But it shall be well with the righteous. And those who are right, made righteous by the blood and righteousness of Christ, see God and plead for His mercy and realize they don't deserve it. They deserve not one little bit of His mercy. Now, is that being preached today? Nope. In in most churches in this country, you deserve God. I mean, it's just like entitlements, which is what we see all the time. You deserve this and you deserve that. I read a good article this morning by Greg Elmquist. I'm going to put it in the bulletin next week. It's about training the children. It talks about entitlement, these kids, you know, this generation and this and that and all these different things. And if you train the child, Lord willing, they'll go that way. So I just thought it was really good. But this worldly mentality has crept into the church. And it's been there for a long time. You read Spurgeon, he saw it. But we need to see that our only worthiness is found in Christ, not ourselves. Not anything we do or cannot do or withhold or don't do this or don't do that or do this and don't do that. It's not in those things. It's in Christ. It's a person. I make reference time and time again to old Simeon. You know, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he held up that baby, Lord Jesus Christ. He held up that baby in his arm. And he's looking right at that child. And he said, Lord, let me go. Let me die in peace. Let me go now. I've seen thy salvation. And he's talking to a person. He's looking at a person. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you understand that, you understand yourself, you're righteous. And it shall be well with you. Matt, would you close this, please?